Title of the message is Don't Settle. Don't Settle. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That key verse, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. The Holy Spirit's in us. He'll do things that we couldn't even dream that we can do. We'll be able to accomplish things we didn't think we could do because we couldn't do it on our own. But through Christ we can. Father, I pray now, bless your word. Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is life-changing. Lord, your word speaks to our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, this message this morning that we don't settle for things, but that we go on to perfection, go on in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you just move on the heart of every single one of us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't settle. Don't settle. We tend to settle for things, and I think sometimes we settle for second best a lot of times because we don't press on or look for the better things that we can have in our life. Sometimes we pay more and we get less, don't we? Sometimes we don't get what we want, so we say, well, I can't get it, so we just settle for second best, or we just settle for things. Sometimes we do that as Christians. We want to go on. We hear about these giants of the faith, and we say, well, I never could be that way. I never could do that. So we tend to just settle. Well, I am what I am, and we're just where I am, and this I'm going to just live my life. But you don't have to be that way. I read about a man that bought a ticket on an ocean liner, and he was going to cross the ocean. So he almost starved to death on it because all he had was crackers to eat, so he ate on those crackers. And about the time he got to the end of his destination, somebody told him that everything was paid for. He could have been eating in the dining room, but he spent all the time eating crackers. Now listen, it's all paid for us. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed us white as snow. We have this victory in Jesus Christ, but we settle. We eat crackers when we could be having a bountiful dinner with the Lord Jesus Christ. We settle and we're satisfied sometime with so little that God gave us, and we don't press on. In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel tells a story. He sees this vision, actually, and a vision is water coming out of the throne of God. And as it comes out of the throne of God, and he's standing there, and all of a sudden the water gets ankle deep. Pretty soon it goes up to his knees. Pretty soon it's up about to his waist. And after a while, the water is so much he has to swim. And Christianity is kind of like that. Sometimes we get saved, and the blessing of God comes, and we just want to stay ankle deep. We don't really want to go put much further. We kind of settle this. Well, I've got my fire insurance. I'm on my way to heaven, so I'm okay. And we don't step out and get a little deeper. Sometimes, some folks, though, they want to get deeper. I remember when I got, before I got saved, and I'm not picking on you back folks, people, but I always sat on the back row. And the reason I didn't want anybody to ask me any spiritual questions, because I probably wouldn't have known them. And so when I got saved, though, you know what I did? I moved to the very front row. I wanted to be so close to where the preaching was going on, I didn't want anybody distracting me. I felt like I had to catch up. I was 27 when I really got saved, and I felt like I'd lost 27 years of my life, and I wanted to catch up. I wanted to get as much as I can, as quick as I could, from the Lord. Everybody's not like that. But we all ought to have that hunger. The Bible says that even a newborn baby desires the sincere milk of the word. Even a little baby wants to be fed. A baby Christian ought to have hunger for the things of God and the word of God. But sometimes we just get a little bit and we settle and say, well, this is Christianity. I can kind of live like I want to live and do what I want to do, and we'll go to church and repent on Sunday, and we just stay an ankle deep. But God wants us to go deeper. He wants us to take the plunge, in a sense, just go all out for God, because we're settling for something that we ought not to settle for. There's victory in Jesus. That's my favorite song, Victory in Jesus. I love the song we first sung, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I love Him because He changed my life. He transformed my life and your life too if you've come to the Lord. So things are different. So this morning I say to you, let's don't settle for second best. Let's just don't settle for religion, because religion don't get it. It's Christianity that changes our lives. So there's a few things I want to tell you we ought not to settle about this morning. Number one, don't settle for knowing about God without knowing God. A lot of people know God. They know who God is. They know who Jesus is. They've heard all that. But it's kind of like this. How many of you know Barack Obama this morning, or Donald Trump? Well, we all know who he is. Probably never met either one of them. I haven't. Maybe some of you have, but I haven't. So we know who they are, but we don't know them personally, and they don't know us personally. And you know, I remember I was working one time when Sam Nunn was running for Senate, and some of you remember Sam Nunn. He's been out of politics a while. He came through where we was working. I was sitting at a desk, came by, and he shook everybody's hands in the office. So I met Sam Nunn. I know Sam Nunn, but he probably don't know me. You know? And sometimes we know who Jesus is, but does He know us? I had a grandmother, and I've shared this before, that she loved the Lord. She'd get after all the grandchildren about going to church. But she lived with my uncle and aunt, and she got real sick and really was getting close to her deathbed. And my uncle went in the room with her, and he knelt down beside her bed, and he was talking to her, and he says, Mama, he said, how are things with you and Jesus? And she said this. She said, Virgil, I'm satisfied with Jesus. He said, Mom, that's great, but is Jesus satisfied with you? One thing to be satisfied with Jesus, but do we know Jesus ourselves? Do we know Him? Even the demons know who Jesus was, and they tremble at His presence. But they wasn't born again. They wasn't saved. A lot of people know the name of Jesus. They know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but we don't know Him in a personal way. He's never been invited into our hearts. In fact, Jesus said in that day, in that judgment day, many will say unto Him, Lord, we cast out demons in Your name and did all this thing. He said, I know all that, but He said, I never knew you. You never came to Him and repented and got saved. And so, you know, we can be a preacher. I've known preachers that preached for years and finally got saved. I've known deacons and deacons' wives and people that got saved after many, many years. It's one thing to join up with something and be part of something, and you can do religion-wise. We can be religious without being born again and trusting Christ as our Savior. I said the thing that sets Christianity apart from religion is a personal relationship with Almighty God. People can be religious and not know God. They can go, I was listening to the news today, all this green stuff and all this, you know, trying to save the planet and all that. One of the guys said it has become that's their religion. They've rejected Christianity. They've rejected religion. And now their religion is trying to save the planet and save the straws and don't have straws and all that stuff. People will look for something. By nature, we are religious. You know the devil's religious? One thing got to kick him out of heaven. He's got people worshiping him instead of worshiping the true Savior. There are false religions. And so Paul ran across that in his day. Paul was preaching. He was going about. He was trying to win people to Christ. He wound up in Athens, and he went to a place called Mars Hill. When he got to Mars Hill, looked around, he was probably dumbfounded when he looked around, because they had all these statues to different gods. And these great philosophers, supposed to be the brilliant folks of his day and brilliant folks of Greece, and they were sitting around. They were discussing all this and discussing all these gods, and they were, you know, they wanted to make sure they didn't leave out any god. They didn't want to offend any god. So they made a statue to an unknown god, just kind of covering their bases, you know, they wanted to get everything covered there. And Paul looked at him, he says, well, look, I know that unknown god. Let me introduce him to you. He's Jesus Christ incarnate. He came in the world to save sinners like they were. And so Paul preached Christ to them. People can know about God without knowing God. You have to invite Him in your heart to know Him. And so, don't know about God without knowing Jesus personally as your Savior. We can open our hearts to Christ. It's so easy. Jesus has paid it all. He's paid it. All we have to do is open our heart and say, Lord, come into my life, change me. And you can know Jesus Christ in a personal way. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way, you're just religious or lost. It's those that are born again have Christ in their heart. So secondly, don't settle for salvation without assurance of salvation. Now, I preached on this many times. I preached on it a while back, a whole message on this. But, you know, it's great to be saved. But to know that you know is wonderful. It's great to be saved, but to know that you know is wonderful. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he'll keep that which I've committed to him against that day. He said, my eternal life I've committed to Christ. I know I'm settled. I don't have to worry about it. Romans 10:11 says, for whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. In the Greek, that word, not be ashamed, means you won't be red-faced when you stand before Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, when Christ judges us as Christians. We won't be embarrassed because we've trusted Christ as our Savior. We won't be disappointed, is another way it's translated. We won't be disappointed when we put our faith and trust in him. Hebrews 7:25 says, and I love this, we're saved to the uttermost. We're saved. We didn't just get halfway saved, partway saved. We're saved to the uttermost. So, doubts about our salvation, if we're doubting salvation, we have settled for something that God did not intend for us to do. And people that doubt their salvation that have come to Christ, they're basing their salvation not on the shed blood of Jesus, not on what Jesus Christ has done, but they're basing their salvation on their performance. If I perform well, God will save me. If I perform well, Jesus will love me. Jesus loved us when we were sinners, folks. He died for us when we were sinners, when we cursed his name, when we ran from him, when we hated him. He died for us because he loved us. But now that he saved us, why would he kick us out? He loves us. Now, if we base our salvation on feelings, here's the thing. You get up today and you say, well, I feel saved today. Man, everything's great. Hallelujah, I feel saved. You get up tomorrow, you don't say, I don't feel saved today. You know, it'd be my luck the day I got up and I didn't feel like I was saved, I'd get killed in a car wreck. We either saved or we're lost, folks. We're saved to the uttermost. I tell you what, you guys that's married, you go home and you tell your wife, say, honey, I just don't feel married today. See how that goes over. When the black eye goes down, you will see better, and you will feel a whole lot more married. You see what we do? We want to be saved, but we struggle with guilt. Satan will put things in our mind. Temptations will come, and you'll hear that voice say, well, if you were saved, you wouldn't even thought that. If you were saved, you wouldn't have done that. Listen, we struggle with the world and the flesh and the devil. We're in a battleground, folks. We have not arrived at heaven yet. There's still warfare going on. It's a spiritual warfare. But because that comes to us does not mean we lost our salvation. We may stumble and fall. The Bible says a righteous man falls down 7 times, but he gets up again. You just don't quit. I had a professor who was telling us about going out and knocking on doors and reaching people. And somebody was saying, well, you didn't go out last week. He said, look, just because I didn't go out last week don't mean I quit knocking on doors. I've been knocking on doors for 25 years trying to reach people for Christ. Just because you fall down and stumble don't mean you have given up. You just get up and keep going and repent and start back afresh with the Lord. God is a God that forgives us and loves us and cares for us. Don't have salvation and go through life doubting about your salvation. You know, if you doubt your salvation, why? If I'm doubting about it, why would I try to convince somebody else to be a Christian? If I ain't settled on it, if I'm not satisfied with it, if I'm not sure of it, I have a hard time convincing somebody to come to Christ if I'm not sure myself. So get over that. If you've opened your heart, I love Revelation 3:20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or any woman or any boy, any girl, hear my voice and opens the door, he's talking about your heart, opens the door, he says, I will come in and sup with you. That means he's going to fellowship with you. He's going to come in and stay. He's going to break bread with you. He's going to live with you. He's not going to depart from you. Now, here's the thing. He says, I'll do something if you'll do something. What do you have to do? You have to open the door. You have to open your heart. You have to invite him in. And if you invite him in, he promises to come in. So I've opened my heart to Jesus, and he promised to come in, and he promised never to leave me or forsake me. So for me to doubt my salvation is almost like spitting in the face of Jesus Christ, to doubt what he has done for me or done for you. Titus 2:2 says, it's impossible for God to lie. So if Jesus said, if you'll open the door of your heart, if you'll do your part, he will do his part. You open the door, you confess your sins, you invite him to come in, he will come in. And Monday morning you get up and you say, well, I don't feel saved again. It's because you went back and you're basing your salvation on how you feel instead of basing your salvation on the Word of God. The Word of God cannot lie. The Word of God will last forever. Flowers may fade and fall away, but the Word of God will endure forever. We have to depend on the Word. We have to put it on the Word. When I don't feel good, I still go back to the Word. We're saved to the uttermost. So don't settle for second best. Being saved and not sure of it. If you're not sure of it, just get sure this morning. Just invite him in this morning. Settle it. You can remember, you know, parent church, I settle it. It's settled for all. He's already settled it. We just need to settle it in our life. Next, don't settle for being converted without connection. Lots of people that way. Over the years, I've met people, and I try to talk to them and invite them to church, and they tell me, I'm saved. They're even sure that they're saved. And I'd say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go. I'll tell you something. A person says they're born again and saved and don't ever go to church, the whole world ought to doubt their salvation. They ought to doubt it too. It's something that God puts in our heart. When a person gets saved, he wants to be with other Christians. I don't want to walk through this world by myself as a Christian. We need each other. That song that came out years ago, people need the Lord, Christians need each other too. And we need to fellowship with each other. Now, let me say this. Church attendance was not a preacher plan. Us preachers didn't get together and say, man, let's just fill up the church so we have somebody to preach to. That was not our plan. In the beginning, there were no churches. There was no buildings. People met together in homes and met together wherever they could meet together. Church attendance is not a man-made thing. It's a God-made thing. In fact, it's part of Christ's plan for every Christian is to attend church. The writer wrote to Thessalonians, it says, fail not to assemble yourself in the house of God as the manner of some do. In other words, don't say you got to go 3 times a week. God just saying you got to get together. You ought to meet together. You know what? It's for our benefit. So we can corporately worship Jesus Christ together and sing together and worship him together and pray together and pray for each other and encourage one another. We need each other. And then I didn't go around giving away gifts and talents, but the Holy Spirit did. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit gives every Christian some kind of gift, a talent. And he didn't give it to you so you can brag about your gift or brag about your talent. He gave it to you so you could build up the body of Christ. He didn't give a person a great singing ability just so they can get applause. He gave a singing ability so they can minister to the body of Christ and be a blessing to the body of Christ. What saddens me, and I know it saddens God worse, is there's plenty of people, plenty of Christians with awesome talents, and they don't use them. They sit at home. They don't serve God. God's gift to us is he gives us a talent. Our gift back to God is using the talent that he gives us for his glory and to build up the body of Christ. We're both supposed to build up each other. So don't have conversion to Christianity without a connection to Christianity. The church is not man's idea. It's Christ's idea. Christ started the church. We're talking about Christians, it's because of Christ. It's Christ gave himself for the church. He loves the church. So to say I don't like the church is really saying I don't like something that my Savior created for my benefit. So don't be converted without having a connection to a group of Christians. to grow in grace and knowledge, and so you can be a blessing to others too. And don't have eternal life without eternal living. Don't have eternal life without eternal living. I call it kingdom living, living like you're part of the kingdom. I'm saved, and you say, I'm saved, and I can't lose it. I'm saved once, and I'm always saved. And people will say that, and yet they go out and live like a heathen. They go out and live like they've never been to church. They go out and live an ungodly life. And it's bringing shame on Christ, who died for that person, who died for us, to live like the devil. We're on the Lord's team now, you know? We're on the Lord's side now. We're supposed to love other Christians. We're supposed to love the lost too. Because once we were lost and blind and undone and without Christ, and people prayed for us and people cared for us, and a group of believers somewhere got together doing that, and many people get saved at church. You know, one reason I like church and I like Sunday mornings, one thing, I get to preach, so I really like it. And I get to go to church, but what I really like more is I think about all the different time zones, 24 different time zones, so all around the world, people are meeting, the body of Christ is meeting, they're preaching the gospel, they're singing about the gospel, they're sharing the gospel, and people are getting saved. There'll be people saved today in every one of these different time zones. People already got saved today already because the time zone started. We're just catching up right now. The sun's just getting over our part of the world. And people are hearing the gospel. Their lives are being changed. There's joy in heaven. And the angels are having a celebration in heaven. And people in churches are having a celebration in heaven. Why? Because they have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you know, when you get saved and you get up off your knees and wherever it is and you've trusted Christ as Savior, your life is supposed to be different. We're translated out of our old single world spiritually, and we're translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to walk as new people in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be kingdom livers, kingdom dwellers. You know, when I was in high school, I was part of FFHA and 4-H and all those kind of things. And so one year, we raised cows and hogs on the farm, and I told my dad, I want to pick out one of those hogs. I want to put one of them in the 4-H show. And so he said, okay, you can have one of them. So I picked one out. I don't know if you know what a Duroc hog is, but they're red-looking hogs. Get to be big jokers. And so I raised him, I fed him, and looked after him, and took care of him. And finally it came time, we took him to the show. And, you know, he was all cleaned up and washed up and gotten out all those hogs and cows. They looked so nice. Some of them, you know, almost had like ribbons in their hair. They just looked so pretty and nice as far as hogs go. And and that's why I didn't win. There was some prettier than mine was, apparently, and some others won. But, you know, a little disappointed. I loaded that old hog up and took him back home, and I opened the gate, and that hog went straight to that old mud hole. There was nothing changed about that hog because he was just cleaned up on the outside. And a lot of times people, they have a little experience, and they get moved emotionally, but did you really get saved? Did you really open your heart to Christ? Did you really want to be born again? Did you really want your life to change? Did you really want to live a new life in Christ? And when we do, we don't go back to the old hog pen. Our lives will change. Even Peter talked about that. He said, a sow will return to the mire. They'll go back to where they were. Listen, if you slipped up and did, then repent and get back. Revival comes, salvation comes, when there's an acute awareness of our sins and we realize we're undone. We can't make it to heaven on our own. Our sins are too great. We can't live on this thing where my good works, I hope, outweigh my bad works. That's performance salvation. We're saved by grace, not of our works, is what the Bible says. So don't have eternal life without having eternal living, living for Christ, my Savior. And don't settle by receiving without giving. You receive salvation. Now, we can't give salvation, but we can share the word of God that people get saved. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you say, that's just a hard statement. I like receiving things. But, you know, I've been blessed untold amount of times. People have blessed my life and given me things that I didn't deserve it, didn't ask for it, but they gave it to me. And I've been, years ago, I was given a house. And I've been given at least 3 or 4 cars over the years. Never asked for one, just people gave them to me. And I was always thankful. But you know, one of the greatest joys of my life is when I can give. I'll tell you how you know that. When your kids at Christmas or their birthday, and you can give something, don't your heart just kind of well up within you? Don't your heart just feel good? Even better than receiving something yourself, when you can really do something for your kids. And you know, it's great to receive salvation. But boy, you have a friend you prayed for, a loved one you prayed for, and you share Christ with them, or you're part of their life to get them to Christ, and they get saved. Oh, what the joy and the feeling is in your soul when they come to Christ. It's more blessed to give than receive. So we need to live a life of not only receiving, but giving and giving out the Word of God. Someone said, you're not living until you're giving. And that comes, I think, with tithing sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we learn to tip God. We tip God instead of tithing, and people struggle over tithing. My thing is this: if God says in the Old Testament that he would open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, my statement has always been, are your windows open or closed? You're asking for a blessing to be open or closed. Now, God doesn't need our money. Old saying, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need our money. It's a faith issue. It's, Lord, will I really trust you? Are you a God that can provide for me, and I'm going to trust you? And it's a step of faith. And boy, when you step out and you trust in God, there's something really happens to your heart, because you know God's got you. You know when you can trust him, you'll live better on that 90% than you will the 100%. In fact, God said, I'll rebuke the devourer for you, those things that devour and eat up your money. He told the Israelites, he said, you're like you got bags, you put money in it, and there's a hole in your bag. You just never have enough. It didn't say he's going to make you a millionaire, you're not going to win the lottery. You know what, I know for sure I'll never win the lottery, because I've never bought a lottery ticket, and I don't plan on buying one. The old saying, you got to play to win, but I'll never win because I never play. You know why? Because that's gambling, and that's, you know, what would happen if a lot of people won the lottery? They'd quit their job, they'd probably quit church, they'd start traveling, they'd go around the world. They wouldn't have time for God. The reason I know that, God said to the Israelites, he said, you're going to go into the promised land, said you're going to dig in the ground, you're going to find gold and silver, in other words, you're going to become wealthy, and he said, you're going to forget me. You know why? You say, I don't need God anymore. You get all my bills paid, fixed my kids' teeth, got him a new car, everything's going well, I don't need any of that. God, it's been taken care of. Sometimes we better off stay poor, so we have to depend on God. Kind of like the guy I told you about, he said he was struggling about tithing. He went to his preacher and said, Pastor said, just pray with me that I'd have faith to tithe. And so they got down there and they prayed, and so he got up and he started tithing. Several months later, he came back and said, Preacher, said, pray with me again. Said, I'm having trouble. Said, I'm making so much money now, and I'm tithing so much that I'm struggling with the amount I'm tithing. He said, okay, let's pray. So he got in and said, Lord, make him poor again so he won't struggle with tithing. It's a trust issue. Do we? You know, the thing, if we trust Jesus with our eternal salvation, and where are we going to spend eternity? Why do we struggle so much here? With trusting him for our next meal, and trust him for how he's going to bless us, and trust him to pay the insurance bill or the light bill or whatever that. But just trust Christ. We really put our faith and trust in him. He will provide a way. And don't settle for second best by having heaven without having some crowns to lay at Jesus' feet. What I mean by that? Well, one day as a Christian, we're going to see Christ face to face. And I read in Revelation, you know, it said those 24 elders, they looked at Jesus. And by the way, we'll see the scars in his hand and the thorn scars in his brow, maybe the scars in his feet. And those elders sitting around, and it was 24 of them, and they took the crowns off their head and laid them at the feet of Jesus Christ. I want to lay something at the feet of Jesus when I see him. I want to say, Lord, I've been faithful. Lord, I did my best to try to bring people to Christ. Lord, I had a deacon one time, his biggest thing, he gave out tracts everywhere he went, gave out tracts. He said, I got saved because somebody gave me a tract, and so his minister came giving out tracts. He said, if I can read it and get saved, other folks can read it and get saved. Sometimes giving out Bibles, the Gideons give out Bibles, and others give out Bibles. That, you know, reading one passage might be just the thing that turns their life around and gets saved. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. When I stand before Jesus, and we stand before Jesus, as parent believers, believing in Jesus Christ, are we going to have something to lay at the feet of Jesus? Say, Jesus, I loved you. I served you. And I want to live for you. Don't settle for one without the other. Don't settle for one thing without the other thing. We're settling for second best when we do. Don't settle for knowing Jesus without knowing him in a personal way. You're missing out. Don't settle for salvation without that sweet assurance of salvation. I'll say this, the greatest thing that ever happened in my life was I got saved. The second best, when I read the Word of God and I got assurance because of the Word of God that I was saved eternally. It wasn't performance anymore. It wasn't my good works anymore because I didn't really have enough good works. Nobody has enough good works to keep you out of hell. So don't settle for salvation without assurance of it. Don't settle for being converted without being connected to a body of believers. We need each other. Don't settle for eternal life without eternal living. If we're a child of God, we ought to live like children of God. In Acts, the first Christians, they called them Christians as a derogatory thing because they were acting like Jesus. They said, those folks are acting just like Jesus. And they made fun of them and said, well, they're just little Christians. Would to God they'd say to all of us, you're just a bunch of little Christians over there. You're acting just like Jesus. Be the greatest thing they could say about us. Don't receive without giving back. And don't wind up in heaven without having something to lay at the feet of Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, help us this morning, Lord. You say you're able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or even think. And Lord, we come back and we try to do it in our own strength and our own will and our own way, and we settle for less than what you have for us. Help us, Lord, just to see the truth this morning of this message, that you have so much more for us, and we'll just go on and trust you and walk in faith. If you're here today and you've not ever put Jesus in your life, open your heart to him. Open that door this morning. Open the door of your heart. If you're not saved, he's knocking on the door of your heart, I guarantee you. He wants to come in. He loves you. He's already died for you. Trust him. Open your heart. And you can be born again this morning in this service. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart to you. Please come into my heart. Save my soul in Jesus' name. And we as Christians, Lord, help us not to be settlers, but help us to move on and go deeper. And Lord, just take the plunge and just go all out for you, Lord. And live for you, living for Jesus. That's what we want to do. We want the whole world to know that we're born again. We love the church that you died for. We love the people of God. Lord, I just pray now you just do the altar call. You just work in our hearts this morning. Whatever the need is this morning, Lord, if it's part of this, join and be part of this fellowship. Lord, it's tithing. It's witnessing to somebody. It's praying for a lost loved one. Or just going on and commit our lives to really serve you. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand as we